Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam. Oh boy, what a morning! What a morning!
I know you've had a hot tub morning, apparently.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You weren't in the hot tub though.
Yeah, except I wasn't in it. Let me just lay it out for you. So, both my husband and I went out last night separately. I had a work event. He went to a concert. Mm-hmm. Usually he does the morning shift, right? Like helps to get the little one ready.
Yeah, mine does too.
Right? This morning he didn't want to wake up. Fine. I get it. You went to a concert. You're a little hungover. Chill out. So then he has the fucking nerve. He went in the hot tub this morning. And then when he came back, he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you prioritizing our daughter, like getting her ready? Mind you, not only was I getting her ready, I was feeding the dogs, like cleaning up, like doing like 10 things at one time. And I'm like, are you
feeding no sexual me? Favors for at least.
No. I'm like, you better march your ass right back in that hot tub. Do not come inside. I don't want to see you.
Yeah, my husband does the mornings too. And it's pretty amazing because I'm not an early riser and I have tried for the last 39 years to be an early riser. I just cannot do it. And I refuse to do it. So my kids walk into the bedroom and they just yell hairbrush because he really can't do that part of the getting them ready. So I brush their hair, put it in a braid, and then I go back to bed. Like, because they get up at 6:15 and I'm like, they have to be out the door by 7. So they're out by 7. I sleep till like 7:45 and I'm up for the day.
Tamin, you mean you're not a morning person?
I'm not. Did I say I'm a morning person? I'm not a morning person. Anyway, let's ask our next guest, yes, who I'm actually really excited because maybe they can give me some pep in my step. Yes. Make us feel better, because the last time we spoke to them, we laughed so hard that we had to like cut out so many sections of the podcast of us laughing. So, you know, let's do a round two. Who do we have today? Roxy Soxy.
Oh, we are so excited. We have our podcasting soul sisters back on with us today.
From Canada.
From Canada, the Canucks. We love our girls. Like, we have the best time with them. It's like girls' night out every time we like sit down and talk to them. We just need like our cocktails. And if it wasn't 9 a.m. here, I'd have my margarita, you know? So without further ado, let's welcome Kat and Nat.
Yeah.
What time is it there for you guys?
12:12. It's okay. Not enough time in the day is what it's called. It's like, it is, we don't even look at the clock, because then you just get a panic attack that you're like on D-Day to pick up the kids.
I feel that way too. I feel like there's just, by the time you drop them and I go back to sleep, by the time I wake up, it's just, you have to leave by like, well, we do at 2:30 to do the first pickup. And then the second picks up's at 3:30 and you guys have for the two kids. So it's like, I can't even imagine what it's like. And there just isn't enough time. I'm glad you said that, because I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
No, not enough time. And you know, it's just getting more and more. Like, I feel like I did have time before a little bit, but now it's just like, it's just go, go, go. And then, yeah, the pickup is so freaking early. Like, two things I do. I, you know, number one, that when I wanted to wake up this morning, like you guys were talking about waking up, I don't want to get out. It's so cozy and warm. It's still black outside. But then I like pull up my phone and I see some people doing stories on Instagram, and I know they're on Eastern Standard Time, and I can see that they posted like, you know, an hour and a half ago, and they're like having their coffee or doing their workout. And I'm just like, I like you, Tam, and I wish I could be that person. Like, the person is like, I get up before my kids, so I have my coffee, I do my workout, so I'm totally organized when they wake up. I love that idea. That sounds like a really organized plan, but it never really happens. And then at the end of the day, yeah, it's pick up so early, and then just constant driving them around to everywhere. And then I'm ready for bed at like 7:30. That's when Kat and I text each other. We're like, is it bedtime? Like, I could get.
Are we done?
Yeah, like dead, right? I mean, there's like no energy. Like, and especially like even in the morning, like after coffee, I'm like, why do I still feel tired?
Because you drink coffee. I've given up caffeine, guys. I'm 5 years in.
Wow.
5 years in. And I will tell you, I've only had two kids. I know you guys have had more than that, but
two is more than enough.
First one, I was exhausted, like really exhausted. That postpartum, had postpartum depression, anxiety, felt like I was like dying. I was like, this is what death feels like.
Yes.
And then I didn't have caffeine with the second. And yes, I probably had more of a support system, and I definitely made sure that I had meals prepared, so I was more prepared for the second. But I would say that the caffeine is so great for me in the first hour it happens. And then it just over time crashes my energy levels. And then I'm consistently trying to find that high again, trying to get that energy. Oh. And what it does is it depletes your adrenal glands. So over time, you need more of the same thing to feel the same energy. Mm-hmm. That when I give myself a B12 iron, I know I sound like one of those moms that you hate in your Instagram, but if I do a B12 and an iron, in the morning, I don't feel tired anymore.
When you say a B12,
take a sip of my Diet Coke. Sorry, while we talk
about go get your caffeine. Here's the like caffeine. Greens. Here's my greens.
Oh, she drinks those too. She drinks those too. But when you say, what did you say?
Adrenal glands, vitamin B12.
Oh, B12. How do you take your B12 as a pill?
So I take my B12 as a chewable. Now, B12 is not created equal. There's two types of B12. And one gives you more of the jitters and anxiety because it's like it's definitely an upper. Mm-hmm. And then the second one still gives you energy, but it's like it's a sustained release. They're two different types. And so I've found one. I can let you guys know after this podcast, but I found one that I take every morning, and my migraines have actually reduced to once a year when they were used to be once a month, because there's a huge correlation between B12 deficiency and headaches and migraines. But B12 is huge. And so much of us
are deficient. Soon you came in with a doctor/pharmacist. I loved it. You know,
I actually want to go back to school for it because it's kind of weird in a household.
Well, I actually
I have a degree.
I had my blood tested a few months ago and they're like, your B12 is so low. And this is, they always said this to me. Like when I was younger, like, do you have such low energy? Your B12 is really low. I never did anything about it. So then when the doctor tells me to take the B12, I take it for like 2 days and then I forget. And so like, so the doctor yesterday was like, should we recheck your blood and see? I'm like, well, maybe we should actually recheck the blood when I take a B12 for more than 2 days. Because obviously nothing's changed. But I mean, I love the idea of feeling like I have even more energy, but I have to take it like I take my other medication. I just feel like it's kind of like optional, you know, but it's obviously not.
Yeah. I mean, it is optional. It just depends on, you know, D as well. Like there's a 93% common denominator of women who have miscarriages have a D3 deficiency. Mm-hmm. And Alicia Vitti, who's this huge, amazing hormone specialist, came on the podcast and just said, like, if women just knew that to start, and yes, of course, infertility is real. But if we just started them on like, let's triple your vitamin D levels before we even start to get pregnant, you know, there could be vastly different results if we just kind of try certain natural things before we go any other route. But
is Roxy, you're such a good I don't know if you guys show this in like video, but Roxy's
she's so good. That's why I love her as my podcast partner.
I'm such an active listener that I'm always like, and I'm like, is it weird that I like am so expressive? Like,
I love
not
I love
saying
it.
Anything.
I'm actually, I can barely listen because I'm watching you. Like, whoa! It's like your Vanna for you. Everyone needs a Roxy to react. Imagine you walked around and you were like, whoa, I love it.
Sometimes I catch myself when I'm watching TV or watching someone talking and like, or I'm like watching a public speaker and I feel like I'm trying to help them out as well. And then I see myself moving, no one else is moving. And I'm like, just relax. You're not speaking. It's fine.
Yeah. Roxy, I'm here for it. I mean,
she also laughs at everything too that I say. So I feel great all the time.
And she doesn't even like interrupt. Like she just sits and like, whoa, doesn't even like, you know, I love it. It's so good.
This is, and also I'm like sitting on my hands right now too, because I like to like move around a lot. So I'm like,
do it. I want to see it. It's really a good time on this end. Yeah.
You want to see it, but you don't want to hear it. You don't want to be like boom, 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 boom every time. Yeah.
Rox is like, my B12 and vitamin D is great, guys. I am doing fine over here. I have a ton of energy. I move my hands. We're good. Now let's talk about blowjobs, can we, or what?
Well, let's talk about lack of blowjobs because I'm definitely not going to.
When's the last time you get a blowjob, Roxy?
After, well,
she's like,
I can't remember.
But he's definitely not getting one now after this morning.
Well, Roxy,
has it been years?
No, it's been like probably a couple months, maybe.
Yeah.
Me too.
Maybe I can stretch it out in 2 years.
Yeah, we're going to keep stretching that.
It's so funny that your husband was maybe a little bit hungover and he went in the hot tub, because I find that when my husband's hungover, he also likes to go in the hot tub. But the other thing about being hungover, and I would love to know like your guys' perspective. When I'm hungover, I don't want to even consider it until like 24 hours. But men get like horny when they're hungover. Oh, I don't know if they think it's going to cure them. You do?
I haven't been hungover in probably like 5 years, but like that's why you have so much energy. But I get really turned on when I'm hungover.
What?
I mean, I get turned on by everything.
The wind blowing.
I think it's all the B12 and the D guys, I swear.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going, but I get very
sex after a big night out is mind blowing to me.
I mean, she's amazing, right? Like, I'm like literally like, nobody touch me, nobody talk to me.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Everything is annoying. The thing that would turn me on before about, no, it's annoying. It's gross. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I just want to go to bed and wake up the next morning and then we can consider.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on how big the hangover is. If I'm going to like throw up, then no. But normally what happens is the hangover, it gives you like, you're very sensitive. So everything's sensitive. So maybe you should just try it.
But I'm too busy in the kitchen. I'm too busy in the kitchen eating everything all day long.
I know. And then I'm like a sloth because I just ate all that McDonald's and I can't move. So like, I'm sure it all, you know what, we'll just get some B12 and some D and I'll be a new woman tomorrow.
It all plays in, right? I mean, it's not.
I notice I get very, so my husband's been working out a lot more. And so he's really into being sexual. And I realized that there is a thing about blood flow, and the more you work out, and the like, even like weights is really great for testosterone, even for women. So when you're lifting weights and then you have sex afterwards, your orgasms are a lot stronger because you have all this testosterone going through your body. But you'll notice that when you exercise, your orgasms are a lot stronger than when you don't, and especially like the day of exercise. Like, don't wait like 3 days. You're like, all the benefits are gone. But yeah, the sex will be a lot better.
You know, when you were like, you used to watch, like, I don't know, I assume you guys did watch Oprah all the time.
Yes.
Like when she had her show, right? And so, so many of those, you know, I was like, you know, we were like young girls when we were watching this, but I wouldn't miss an episode. So many of the things that I learned on that show, because I guess it was a time when I was learning about life, and, you know, she was exposing us to everything. I'll never forget the interview when John Travolta came on with his wife, Kelly, and John had just transformed his body from being just like whatever to what, for whatever movie it was, or for whatever, like really, really fit. And I remember her saying, he's like an animal in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And this was before I had
testosterone.
Hey. Yeah.
But you know what? When I got my blood tested, so funny because Kat always says that like sometimes I can be like kind of a dude. And so when my doctor told me that my testosterone was like, you know, like higher than some women, we're like, of course, because that's a dude. But I'm not a horny dude. So I got to figure that out.
Wait, are we doing showers after we work out before sex, or are we not showering?
Well, don't say we when you're looking at me.
You're all just staring at each other.
Sex.
And Dr. Tamman will now answer this question.
Yes, Dr. Tamman.
It doesn't really matter, but if you don't want, no, this sounds, it sounds so clinical, but if you shower before sex and after sex, it's almost like a very, like almost a minuscule risk that you'll get any kind of infection, like a yeast infection or a urinary tract infection. So I definitely shower after. Not necessarily before, because you never know when the moment hits. But if you shower after, like I haven't had an infection down there in years because I just shower afterwards.
Sorry,
I'm gonna wash it out.
Don't shower before your sex. Tamman, I just have to pause here for a minute. You just mean clean your vagina, like you full showering does not clean yeast off your, like you're not cleaning your face for your vagina unless you eat
I go into the shower. And then I put like the hosey thing, like I make sure that it's like all washed and watered in there.
So it's really,
and like sometimes I'll just have a t-shirt on still and just try not to get my t-shirt wet. But as long as like that whole section in there is like like all cleaned up.
I just want to make sure people know they don't just step in a shower and they won't get a yeast infection. I think we have to
wash your hair and you won't get a yeast infection. That's what I
mean. No, you gotta wash. You gotta wash the things. Yeah,
I'm also getting a pee. Yes, right. You have to pee, and I'm also getting a visual of Salmon with a t-shirt on in
sometimes
the shower.
Sometimes I have a full head of makeup and my hair done.
I saw that too.
I just jump in the bath and just like wash it all out.
Yeah.
And this is going out of the podcast.
Oh come on!
Damn it, sex tips. You know, always.
I know.
It's so good. Okay, wait. Speaking of sex, I have a question for you guys because. I think this happened like last week. My daughter and I were like getting, you know, I was getting ready before bed and like we were reading stories and somehow like having babies came up and she was like,
how old is she?
8.
Okay.
Nine. So she was like, mommy, she goes, cause she knows I had a C-section. So basically she knows like the like basics of it. She's like, she knew she was cut out of my stomach. So she goes, mommy, I don't want to have a baby because I don't want somebody to cut me, you know, in half to like pull a baby out, basically.
Yeah.
And I like paused for a minute and I'm like, is now the time to kind of tell her?
Yes. Don't break us through the vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Because she doesn't know about sex yet, I think. I don't know. But I was like, is this the moment to like jump in and tell her about it? Or like, but I just kind of let the moment pass because I didn't do it.
Yes, same.
But she doesn't know
talking about these things.
So she doesn't know that babies can come out of the vagina.
No.
Oh, see. Okay. Well, she might. Okay. Well, maybe she wants to hear from you. I feel that she might have heard.
She's probably going to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to hear it somewhere. So I'm like,
YouTube. YouTube will let her know. There will be some weird video that pops up before the video. She really looks for.
Yeah. No, I mean, we talked about because our kids are like a range of ages. And so, you know, basically when we were talking to our eldest about sex, we were talking to our youngest about sex because that's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. And Kat had a great coffee table book. Wasn't supposed to be a coffee table
book. What is this book?
Yeah, we need the book.
No, you know what's going to blow your mind? It's actually for 4+ and it's called something historic. I have to find it for you, but it is like actual age appropriate.
It was so good.
It shows like people having sex in bed and, but it's for 4+ and there's a 7+, which is like, you feel very behind. And then there's a 12+, which actually I've got to go get all of those. I need to get all of them. Cause I stopped at 7+ and all, you know, cause the kids came over and had play dates and would take it to their room and I'll go read it. So like I'm the mom who's basically debunking the myths.
Of all the mom hates you. All the other mothers. That's my biggest fear is that I'll teach my kid about sex and everyone will be like, Phoenix taught my daughter. Told us about sex, and then they'll just be ostracized.
I think it's a favor, actually. Yeah, I think you're really, too. You know, I had someone in my family, and they have 3 children. I won't say who it is, but the boys were like in grade 6 and didn't know what a boner was. And I was like,
our kids just be like, oh, look, you got a boner.
And I was like, you know, a few problems. Number one, I think, is adults, we need to really think that if they don't know anatomy, they can't tell people to not touch their anatomy. And I think that we, including family members, including people you don't expect. And I think we try to like protect them, but I'm like, they're going to know. And we know 13 and 14 year olds who are definitely touching each other sexually and making out and having sex. So at what point?
Yes. And that's a fact. And that's like in our circle.
So at what point how do you go from 8 to 13 with not knowing what, like it comes fast and furious. So I would rather, you know, just be really, really open, maybe too open, but
yeah,
you know, it is just the conversation that happens.
My mom had a baby when I was 7. And so she sat us down. So 7. So, okay. So I guess I was in grade 1 and then I think it was grade 2. My mom sat down and she was like, okay, Natalie, when the baby's asleep, I have like a present for you or something, right? Or I have something for you. So I assumed she'd like bought me a new top or like whatever. And while she was bathing my baby brother, I looked in the bag and it was the sex books. And I was like, fuck, this is happening, like in my little grade 2 head. So we went downstairs and she basically, it was called, but I know they have videos about it now, but the second one's called What's Happening to Where Did I Come From and What's Happening to Me.
And mine was It's Not the Stork.
It's not the stork. I remember it now.
And they actually have, because some parents, like my mom was very like, she sat down, we could ask anything. It was very factual. And then, but they do make videos of it now for parents who aren't as comfortable, because it can be really awkward to do it. Luckily, Kat and I've done it together. And, you know, basically Kat kind of will say it and then I'll answer some questions. But there's lots of ways to do it. But I will tell you something. In grade two, when my mom told me about sex, I didn't tell her, but I already heard all about it from Kristen Taylor. Mm-hmm. Okay. She sat beside me, Kristen told me Taylor. About blowjobs. She told me about sex. So I pretended I didn't know, but everything my mom had told me wasn't new.
And also, not to scare you, Roxy,
crazy, right?
But sometimes when they're asking you questions, it's to factualize, not to actually, because they've heard it. Mm-hmm. So they're fact checking with you.
Yes.
And if you're not checking the facts, then yeah. they'll go to other sources. So yeah. as a parent, you want to be the fact checker rather than everybody else, because for sure the conversation of vaginas and babies have come up.
Yeah.
And they just, because everyone has sometimes an experience with it, whether it's an aunt, an uncle, you know, so,
or they're French. It's like, yeah, well, I came out of my mom's, like, she got cut open. And then yeah. another kid's like, what? Cause the other kids never heard of that. Right. But then the other thing is that whenever they come to you and ask you something, you can, depending on their age, you can answer what they ask and you don't need to go further at a certain point, because often, like Kat said, often they're asking cause they're fact checking. So that's all they need to know at that time.
I mean, my daughter's nine. Rox is brain not. So Phoenix is asking, she's saying like sex. She said that the other day, she's randomly said sex. And I was like, well, what did you mean? She's like, oh, I just heard that they were having sex. And I was like, okay. And then I just wasn't prepared for it. Cause I want to make sure I have my like cliff notes and like, I'm yeah. it out not to damage her, because I feel like I damaged her a little bit when she was five, because that's when she had a sister and I was all into this like home birth experience, which I didn't have. And all these like videos of like home births. And I was like, look, honey, this is a home birth. This is what we're going to experience. And it totally traumatized her. And she's like, I never want a baby again. That's horrific. And I was like, oh my goodness, I wasn't meant to. I was just trying to show her and prepare her for what was about to happen, because she might hear me screaming or whatever, but that's okay. You know, the baby's coming out. And so I just don't want to do it wrong. And I kind of think about like when I learned about sex was not from my parents. It was from my school. And it was about, this is what sex is. You will get pregnant or get an STD. You must abstain. You must use protection if you end up being a bad little girl who does it at grade seven. No one will like, it was just such a, it was very traumatic. It was so guilt. It was so shame laden. Mm-hmm. And like, we had a sex therapist on here recently and she talked about like the pleasure of it too. And I think that's why a lot of women grow up and they feel so like ashamed to like ask, hey, like that doesn't work for me down there. I'd prefer this. They don't even know what they want. They don't even try it themselves because we've been taught that it's such a shameful experience. So when I do talk about sex, I'm going to say to her, and you'll enjoy it. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but you do have to be careful because mommy doesn't want to raise another kid at 14. Yeah. When you're 14.
You know, we have the other thing where we all openly talk within her family and my family. I'm talking about her brothers, their kids and everything. So we were talking about vasectomies. So then you have to go into, because they think at the beginning, they think you have sex to have babies. That's what, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they're taught. That's what they hear. And then you have to explain that you sometimes have sex for fun. And the reason you get a vasectomy is you can just have sex for fun. And they're like, wait, what?
And they were calling it neutered. They were getting neutered. Neutered. They're all getting neutered. And I'm like, that's not really neutered, but okay.
And then my husband kind of went away alone. And my kids are like, oh, they're going away because they want to have sexy time.
Okay, can we do like a little role play here? Let's pretend like,
oh yes, Roxy, what would you like me to be here?
Yeah, let's do a little role play. Now I roll in the room. Now you guys, okay, fill in the blank and tell me how this should go. Mommy, where do babies come from?
I would say, well, because I think that you have to be careful because babies come from all different places. Mm-hmm. Some people come to you, but how babies are actually born is out of a woman's body, and they can either have it through their vagina, which is a beautiful thing, and also through your tummy, which some women have to do. Some women have, because there's also people with two dads, right? So that's confusing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean, I think I try to cover it all, that like some come, how you have a baby, how you actually have one, and then
how one comes into your life are sometimes two different things, because that can be confusing when they see two men. So I think that it's just, you know, you give birth just like everybody in the world came out of someone's vagina or stomach, including every animal you see in this entire world. Like, when you really think about it, that's kind of mind blowing that we can't talk about it when everybody is here, we have a vagina, everybody, or, you know, in a vagina or out, like there's no, or out of a stomach. So you just know, it's not, like, if you make it not a big deal, I think the minute we say, they're way cooler than us, by the way, when you say it, they are way more chill and way smarter and like fact-based, they might just be like, cool, and move on. Or they might be like, what do you mean? And then you're like, yeah, your body's designed to push out a baby. It's really amazing. You grow a baby for 9 months and then the baby lets you know when it's ready to come out.
And then you can also find an age appropriate, like a video, if you don't feel like saying it, say, hey, actually, you want to see how a baby's made? Let's just watch this. And then you can have like a YouTube video or something like on the ready that mm-hmm. explains like a man's sperm and a woman's egg goes together.
Or I get the book. It's not historic. And Roxy, it's never too late to go back and be like, hey, you asked me a question, I didn't have an answer, but now I have an answer for you.
Want to talk about it now?
Yeah, I have a book for you that might explain it better because I didn't have the words to explain it. And I think when you're not always the expert, mm-hmm. I think it really builds a trust with your kid too, that she can come to you with something and then you can go back and actually have an answer for her that you thoughtfully thought of. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but circle back so she knows that you didn't just not answer a question that might've been really important to her.
That you are available.
Good point. I was just going to say, what about like further, like maybe when they get older, do they ask about oral sex, blowjobs?
Yeah. Like, so the schools actually, my daughter's school, I know, covers all of it from, they called it, female head. They call it head, mm-hmm. was the proper medical term, female head, male head, what that was, how like, the pleasure, all the orgasms, they covered. She did a PowerPoint presentation. They had to pick a topic. And I think that, and our girls were like, why would you want to put that in your mouth? And then we're like, I don't know.
And I'm like, people, we don't have any other. Well, some people like it. So.
And by way of TikTok, they're all singing like, put it in your mouth all over your face. Like they're singing the lyrics that they don't know about. So right. Also, that's something for them to be aware of too, is like all these, we're like, as a culture, it's everywhere, but we won't talk about it. It's mm-hmm. so crazy. So mm-hmm. it's trying to like make your home a safe place where you can have those conversations and they feel safe asking you because you want them to come with you when they make a mistake or when they have a question.
So one of the questions that my husband and I were, you know, going over was, do you think that if you teach them about sex too young, that it makes them more curious and more promiscuous? For example, if you say a penis goes into a vagina, yes, sometimes it's to make babies, but sometimes it's to like, you get great pleasure from it, right? If I heard that, I'd be like, yeah, I'm like, I like chocolate, that gives me pleasure. Mm. What is pleasure? What is, if that feels good, like I want to know what that feels like. And they might not be at an age that's where they are mentally.
When they're really young, we make it like, when they were really young, we made it like a baby making thing.
Yeah. I don't think you need to go into pleasure until they're like maybe 12 and 13.
Yeah.
Like I think you hold hormones kick in. Yeah. I think it's just, it's really facts. Like it's fact-based. And then when they're ready, which often the conversations will come up because their friends will bring it to them or someone will be interested in the boy, like boys or girls. And, you know, crazy conversation, but yesterday we had a debate about virginity and yeah. then Kat said, what if you're a lesbian? Do you ever lose your virginity?
Right.
Right. So you would never. Yes. If the facts was that.
So
really, if you like,
so young people are having anal sex, they don't lose their virginity.
Yeah. And I think other people and some, like everyone's really gender fluid. And there's some people who will never experience their like the other gender. They'll just only be together with a female. And I just think that, you know, the sex conversation is so much bigger than we know. And our children, our teenagers are definitely way advanced than we are. And I bet if you sat down and had conversations with them, because it is, my daughter has lots of girls in her class who are dating each other and it's they, them, and there's no labels. And I think that sexual fluidity is no longer, oh, let's they're going to go seek pleasure with just a boy. I mean, they will seek pleasure everywhere, but that's part of the conversation, is arming them with the information of their bodies and understanding what it means to them. But if they don't know their bodies, I would rather most boys aren't going to be like, let's get naked and have sex. Like, that's a very mature conversation. No, I don't see a grade three going to discover that. You know, I think innately they know it's not
right. And then we also have the conversation, obviously, of consent and age appropriateness and all of that, so that by the time they're ready to understand pleasure, they also understand like what age all that comes with.
You got to do small steps to get to the big ones. You can't just go from 0 to 100, but like knowing the basics are small steps, and then you can build on them.
I've always been big about saying the names of body. Like, I can't stand it when I hear someone go, "Your pee pee." It's a vagina. And my littlest is not even 4 yet, and she can say this entire thing. She says, "This is my body. Do not touch my vagina, nipples, or butt. Because I need to give you consent. I can give you a hug because I'm only old enough to do that." And she is 3.5 years old, and she can say that. And I want her to know, because, you know, it's disgusting how young some of these predators are preying on. And I want her to know what these body parts are to not be touched. Mm-hmm. And I even said to her the other day, she was like, "You know, this part of my body hurts." And you never know what your kids are. Yeah. And I said, "Did anyone touch that part of your body?" Mm-hmm. She said, "No, they didn't," because she knows what it is. It's just that my underwear or whatever. And so I was like, okay. So then I have the information, because I've got at least a handful of friends who were sexually abused from 5 years old. And it's shocking, you know, and their parents had no idea because they weren't able to articulate it.
Yep. That's right.
So what do you guys think about sleepovers then? Because that's also like a hot topic, right? Like, people are like, "Well, I'm not going to let my little ones go on sleepovers because I don't know what's happening at the other house." Like,
and you hear the stories, you know, like I would go to my, and the parents were best friends, and it could be the older brother and it could be the father. And you hear about this all the time. Lucky for me, my daughter hates sleepovers. She doesn't like ever sleeping out, so I didn't have to worry about her. I mean, I think it's a big decision. I think it's a big topic. Like, there was a mom that went very viral on TikTok saying that she will not have her children go to sleepovers for this reason. I think it's like, it's a personal choice that you make, because some kids are just really want to have a sleepover at their best friend's house. It's a dream for them, right? So, I mean, for me, we don't do a lot of sleepovers, and definitely not my daughter. So,
I mean, you have to worry, it's not just a daughter situation too, right? It's it's males too, that it's like young boy. My rule is kind of like, I want to know the family really well. I also,
The other thing.
What?
About your kid being able to have access to phone. You without asking.
Yeah, so I was going to say, they have to have a phone with them, and they have to know how to use it. So my rule was kind of like, do you know how to actually text me and say, "I want to come home, like, I'll pick you up at any time." So
that's a big one, I think. I think, like, you know, cause, and then that goes, like, how old should your kid be when they get a phone? For us, it was always like, as soon as our kids are old enough to use a phone, we want them to have them, so that at any time, if they're in a situation, they can contact us and we can be there. So when, you know, like, her daughter went for a sleepover, her daughter, who's in grade
one, what's the time when she was in grade one,
she had something to contact Kat, so that she didn't have to go to the mom or dad at 11 o'clock at night and say, "Can I call my mom?"
Yeah. So those are kind of my, because I also don't want to be really, I think that we can get really fear-based right now in society. And after, I mean, we were in lockdown for 2 years, and I do want my children, you know, some of the best memories are sleepovers. And, you know, I think that you just have to teach your kids the right, like, the words, the things, their body, what feels, what's right, what's wrong, call me, you know, I think the minute they can articulate themselves or access you, I think that that's a good, for me, that was really my,
for me, I love
for
it.
For me, that was my big, point. And I'm okay with it now. Like, but you're never, nothing's ever 100% foolproof, guys. That's the bottom line, you know, it can happen within parents, within your own house, and you would never know. Yeah. So it is,
but at the same time, we want our children to trust their community, you know?
Yeah.
And not just put so much fear in them. So I don't know. It's a tricky one.
Hard one. It's hard because the statistics are like 1 in 9 girls are sexually abused between the ages of 12 and 17, which is just when I heard that
scammed by their boyfriends too, right? By like their friends, their guy friends. Like
it's not one in like 53 boys. So that's the difference between, I know we say like, you know, boys and girls are different, but one in 53 boys between 12 and 17 and one between one in nine between the ages of 12 to 17. And they say one in four women under 18 are sexually abused at some point in some way.
That's crazy. I mean, that's so high.
It's just, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But I do think that once we empower, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was going to do a podcast with Matt after this, just about like the way of the tones and the conversations that are coming out of the younger generation are so different than anything I've ever heard before. And, you know, my daughter came home yesterday and she's like, I'm tired. I'm not going to 3 hours of dance. My body hurts. My head hurts. I was in the pool all day. I'm done. And she's seven, right? And I was like, Kemen, respect that. Do you think you could go for the two parts where you have to learn the dance? And she's like, yes, pick me up at six. I'm like, no problem. And her son did the same thing. And I was like, if athletes are allowed to put in boundaries and be celebrated and rock stars and all of these people are allowed to be celebrated for putting in boundaries, but our children are not. They're like, you know, it's like they're not allowed to be. We got to catch up down here because everyone else is up here doing it. And as adults, and we're like, no, you got to suck it up. And you know, you don't listen to yourself. Just do what you need
to
do.
My husband's like, he's being a baby. And I was like, actually, I think he's being super strong and standing up for himself, you know? Yeah. And you know, the other things you guys would find as interesting as mothers to daughters is this summer we hired an amazing self-defense instructor to come work with
that.
To work with our daughters. And it was like two full days and
it wasn't so much. It was really situational. So like what they look for, like she was, she's in Texas. She's honest to God. It's the best money we've ever spent. And when she's actually on our podcast, if anyone's interested, her name's Gemma and she's just like,
she's with Girls Who Fight.
And she's just,
she's a UFC fighter, MMA fighter.
MMA fighter.
But like, it was not just about getting out of situations, but also like your body language and things to look for just from people walking down the street. So you're prepared.
Yeah.
So it's always on the girl's mind. They told their brothers about it. And now they all now we'll go drive down the street and we'll see a girl who's kind of like hunched over on her phone. And our kids are like, target.
Yeah. She studied what, because predators are looking for prey. And if you think about it that way, and prey looks a certain way,
they're not going to get it difficult.
And so they're not looking at you because of the way you look. They're looking at you.
How easy it's going to be.
Are you a good target? So they're assessing you. And then they're looking at how quickly can they disarm you? And if they can disarm you, like, it's not usually like grabbing. They're like, if they can get in your space, they know that the chances of, so she teaches them the minute someone comes up to you, you're walking back. Like, don't even let them get in your space. So like when you're at a corner and someone comes up behind you, step 3 feet away, like don't even give them access to you, which I think is for everything. Like even for sleepovers, you know, if a male brother's friend is coming up to you, no space. I want space, you know, don't come near me. So
I think of my niece, I have a niece and she's two. And if you come close to her, she goes, no. And she has to learn self-defense, but her natural thing is get out of my space.
And that's what Gemma says. You can look at them and go, no, stand back. You know, like you want directions, ask them from there. Don't come near me. You know?
So I look at my brother and his wife and I'm like, my first thought is like, that's kind of rude. And they're like, that's her boundaries. I'm like, understand. Fair.
Yeah.
I want to kiss her face off and squish her cheeks, but I understand that is outside of what she's comfortable with.
Yeah. You could apply this to husbands too. Like step the fuck
off. Like, no, step away. Space.
Stay away. Space. No kisses today.
Fascinating what you say about being rude, because like my whole life has been to be a people pleaser. And I was a child actor and I was so worried that me coming in sick or in a bad mood would affect all these people around me. And I still now in my late 30s am a people pleaser. I cannot stand just showing up to a place. And if I don't have anything to say, don't say anything, or don't have to go say hello to people. And it's exhausting. And I worry that my own issues and insecurities is bleeding all over my kids, because I don't like it when, you know, and my husband's very old school and we've had to have a lot of therapy sessions about it. Like if someone walks into your space, you say hello, you're nice, you're not rude to them, you don't walk away, like you look at them in the eye, and all these things about like being what we were taught is respectful and making sure everything's kosher and, you know, there's no negative feelings within the room. And I find it difficult when she acts out, and that's my own triggers and my own trauma. But I want her to be nice.
Funny, we just did a podcast on intergenerational trauma and how we pass on. And Tim, and what you have was passed on from the way you were raised, which is passed on, and it's all, but there is a way to stop it. But you know, when you're talking about that, I think about when I was younger, and my mom's French Canadian, and when everyone greets each other or says goodbye, there's a lot of like kissing and hugging, and it's like kiss, kiss, kiss with men and women and children and everything.
And men, women and children and dogs, everybody.
Like a grown man would greet me as a little girl like that. And that was just part of their culture. And I always felt very uncomfortable. I still am not, I'm not a hugger. And now it took me so long to be able to like say when people come into me, like not in a mean way, but I'm not a hugger. Like, you know, like I can do this, but I don't like people in my space.
But the amount of people that go, I don't care that you're not a hugger, I'm still hugging you, is outrageous.
I do that to my kids. Like, I'm like, I know you don't want to kiss me, but I'm kissing you. I'm your mother. And I don't
want to do that, but it's like if it was like you guys and you're like, I don't care. Like I've never seen you in person. I want to hug you and you gave it to me. But if I have the choice and it's like, I'd rather just to, instead of picking and choosing who I'm going to hug. Yeah. I just like to say, I don't hug. And I wish that when I was younger, because I remember we would like be going to a party or a function and I would have so much anxiety, not like nobody knew it, but I was like, we're going to get out of the car and they're all going to come and hug me. And then it was always the goodbye. And I would think about it from the moment I woke up in the morning. I'm like, they're going to say goodbye to me. And I hated it so much. I would try and hide in the car. My mom would pull me out of the car to go say, be polite and say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I could have spoken up and said to all these adults, I don't want to kiss you.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Irish exit, right? You like leave before you like have to say like the full greeting.
I think I do that now.
Ireland sounds great. I need to try this. I mean, I do this all. I need to go there.
I know. I didn't know it was called Irish. We just call it like Houdini. Yeah. Like, you know, we'll be like at a party or whatever and you just vanish. You're like, where'd you go? I'm like,
I said goodbye.
What? Like, why?
You were drunk. You don't remember.
Exactly. She's like, did I say goodbye to you? I'm like, yes, four times.
I know. Tam is funny like that. She's like, will you walk me down? Remember the last time we were all
Being there. I hate arriving. I hate the time I'm there. And I want to leave. Like I get there and the whole time I'm like, okay, 4 minutes before we have to leave.
Right.
Oh, you're an introvert, Tam. And I get it.
I'm an extrovert introvert. Like I love, like when I'm on set and I'm the lead of a film, bring it on. I love all of it, but I don't want to make, I'm a quite a deep person. So like, I don't like small talk. I don't care. Tell me about your trauma.
Myself a deep person, but I don't like small talk either. Like I wouldn't clarify me as a deep person, but I do hate small talk too. I'm the same. I want to know, like, you know, are you doing anal or is your husband?
Yeah, you're in my core. Right. Exactly. What's your trauma? What's your favorite sex position? And then we can be friends. But
then let's go.
Well, you guys can go to a party together, though, and you guys can talk to each other.
We get along on the podcast. That's the problem.
Yeah. And this is why we all get along, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Right?
I don't know. I'm trying my best. I've really found that my 3-year-old, 4-year-old is like, different kids are different, right? You guys know you've got more than one. And I find parenting my first quite challenging because in many ways she is a reflection of me. But when I was younger, I would get smacked if I spoke out of turn. So I just didn't speak out of turn. And she just pushes, like, she calls me bro. And I just want to like,
this is like, very normal, Tammy.
Yes, I get very like, she's like, hey, bro. Normal. And I'm like, and I know she doesn't fully know, like, I just feel like it's disrespectful because of the way I was raised and like all the things that I have to deal with. You know, She loves theater. She loves theater so much. And she's got to audition for a part today. And she won't even start because she's hysterical. She's hysterical because she's going to do it wrong. And so I'm very nice for about 30 minutes. I'm like, baby, you're gonna be right. You're going to be great. You're so amazing. Let's do it. And then she'll start singing. She's like, stop looking at me. Stop. And then I get frustrated. And I'm like, I'm done. I have more things to do than this. And it's all my
shit, seven. Right? She's seven.
She's just turned nine. So I'd say
like, I was going to say seven or nine. That sounds very nine. That sounds
it's very,
very
difficult. And then afterwards, we both had our blow ups that I apologize for mine. She doesn't for hers, which is fine. And then we're best friends again. It's just really difficult. And then my 4-year old is just eats blue cheese and she just takes herself to bed and she tells me that she needs something and what she needs and she sleeps through the night. And my first one bangs her head. It's like a self-regulating thing all night. All I hear is this banging. And I love her and she's my best friend, but fuck, it's hard.
Yeah, you know what, Tammin? Like right there, I'm assuming that sounds like you don't smack her when she speaks out of turn. No. So you're already breaking some of the things.
Don't know as I want to.
Right there, right there. You're already doing a good job.
I mean, it's always a challenge, right? Like you're just kind of trying to wing it. Like that's what I mean. Every time I think I've mastered something, I'm like, oh, then a fucking like wrench gets thrown in and I actually don't know what the fuck I'm doing, you know? Yeah. And it's just cobbling it together like day by day. Do you guys feel the same? Like,
yeah, but we're doing our best. I can honestly say, and it sounds like you guys, like when I go to bed at night, I'm the best, I'm being the best mom that I can be. I'm trying my hardest. And I think a lot of moms are doing that. It's really hard when you compare yourself to other people that looks like they're doing it differently or better or more successful or more perfect, but everyone's just trying to do their best and that's good enough.
Well, that's the thing too. When you're looking at social media, you're seeing other moms and it looks like, you know, it's a walk in the park and everything's so beautiful and perfect and curated and like everyone's hair's in place. And like the whole, I mean, do you guys find yourselves looking at that, but like being able to like place it, right? Like being able to place it or do you
do it?
I think we've met so many women who have been, because we're honest, they're honest with us that we're like, we've never met anyone who's actually that perfect. Yeah. So it's like before when we first were moms, we thought that those people existed. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been moms for like 13 years, met so many people on tour, really talked honestly to our neighbors and friends, and they get talked back to us, you'll realize everyone's got something.
Right? Yeah. There's some shit.
I think also like as you know, if our content has changed, I think a lot of people have noticed that just in terms of the older you get with parenting, the more shit gets thrown at you and you realize what actually is difficult and what's not. And yeah. I think that your bar becomes kind of like, everyone's like, oh, the third and fourth kid gets away with so much more because you don't have like the time or the patience. I don't think that's true. I think it's because you learn and evolve and grow and you really see what's important rather than
sweating the small stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the little, like their moods don't impact us the same way anymore. They can't take us down as much. I mean, listen, the teenager sass is like crazy, but you're also looking at like, I mean, if you knew the issues on our plate right now are so much bigger than what they used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that you kind of grow up sadly in parenting in a really big way. And, you know, I feel like all of that stuff doesn't matter because you begin to look at your children and realize like we're looking down a laneway where they're going to be leaving very soon. And what you have left with them is, you know, what do you want for the rest of those years? Like when we have 13 and 14 year olds who are,
we have 3 or 4 more years left in the house. That's crazy.
So like, do I want to be stuck in this pattern of, you know, your whole job's to launch them and let them go. So the minute you shift that and let them like begin to let them go, which is sad, but it's true. You can look at them as people rather than yours. Cause they're not ours. They're people. Mm-hmm. And you know, started something called the Common Parent.
So you guys have to know about this,
which is like a parenting group membership where we bring in experts like every other week, it feels like, and they talk about like quick topics that give you tools to like work through it. And you know, what's coming is like mental health, like serious mental health, like depression, like you know, anxiety, like drugs, sex, the learning challenges our kids have over here is fucking crazy what we're dealing with, you know, health issues. Like it just, it's so big that you almost have to bring your levelness down to here. Like your, what is it called? The energies, you know, someone's like your reverberations have to go down. Like you can't stay here. And I think babyhood and toddlerhood is here. And then you have to kind of bring it down because they begin to level up, you know? Yeah. So you just got to kind of like calm down. And I think our content is now really about like joy, seeking joy and fun, because we and our relationship, because we want our children to remember that we are fun and happy people, even with them in the house. And I think toddlerhood and babyhood is all consuming. Mm-hmm. And you're so here, you're so in yourself, and you're so, and then it lifts, but it gets hard, but you kind of change a little bit. And I think that you guys are on the cusp of seeing the change when your children become their own people. And that's around 9 or 10, you'll begin to see them. And it's now about connecting with them when they don't want to connect with you, which is a very humbling experience, because you have to parent them through a time when they don't want to be connected with you.
And you want to keep thinking to yourself, but that's my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not your baby anymore.
That's what, like, I said to her, I said to Natalie recently, I'm like, oh my God, we've talked about sex. This is like to bring it back to sex. But have we talked about that they're going to get in a relationship and someone's going to try to finger them? Do they know what that means? Like, do they know what, like, you know, going under their bra is going to actually lead to? And like, do they realize that person that they're with is going to go one step, and then when they let them go that, they're going to go a step further, and they're going to keep trying to get farther and farther and farther. And I also said, you know, we have to bring an expert into the common parent to talk about how do they know when they're ready for this? Like, how do we teach them that I'm not okay with this? Because when you love someone or really think you're in love with someone and they're making you uncomfortable, how do you say no to someone you don't want to make feel bad?
Exactly.
Like, how do you say, I'm not comfortable with this, but I really like you? And I said, the reality is they will be broken up with if they're not ready to do something that the other person is. That's a reality for them.
And so they have to feel comfortable in their boundaries too, like setting their boundaries, right?
How do you teach that when you really have a big crush on that person? You really want to.
You don't want them gone, but you don't want to make out.
You don't want to get fingered. What do you do? You know,
honestly, this is where the two of us were when we started the Common Parent, and we are not the type of people who can sit down and read a whole bunch of books on how to raise teenagers, lessons and all this. So we created this just so we could get like hot hits.
Cole's notes,
which is exactly how we got through school. On how to handle all these situations. I've never felt like, I don't know where I would be without it, because I wouldn't feel prepared for these situations, because they throw things at you like curveballs, and you have to sort of, like you said, like when she said, and yours is, this is younger because the baby coming out of your tummy, but it's like, I want to be equipped for this stuff when it's like, you know, sex, drugs, alcohol, like your friends are doing this and all that.
And I do have to let you know that it is their biological nature to separate from you and hate you. And that's, they hate you so they can separate from you, which is actually nature. And we think we can change that. We can't. But how do you love someone who doesn't want to be loved, but wants to be loved? How do you do that? And that's what we're trying to do, is when you think they're so disrespectful, how do you put everything you ever, all your ego and all of your own self stuff, and put it aside to show up for the person
and
that you created,
where that behavior is coming from. And it's not what it's almost always not what it looks and sounds like.
Mm-mm.
It's, and you wild. Feel hurt. You feel so hurt.
Oh,
yourself,
it's hard not to be,
right?
Hurt.
I mean, it's so hard.
And it's not about
hurt.
You.
And that's really what the Common Parent's about, is really helping the parents understand their child's journey and from a perspective, while connecting with them. And
we wanted to make sure that we were educated and equipped so we could still have fun, because, you know, you hear about these people who are like, oh my God, teenagers are the worst. My house is a war zone. It's all this yelling and it's horrible. And it's like, I don't want to be like that. I want to understand them more. I want to have a better connection with them. It's not going to be easy, but I still want to enjoy my life and have fun, because there's other kids in the house too.
And we all know one child can turn the whole house upside down. We all know that. What, like one child, like it doesn't even have to be, it can ruin your relationship. You know, they can do a lot of, they can do a lot of damage in one household. Mm-hmm. You know, they can hold a whole house hostage.
Mm-hmm. You find it hard, because like for our podcast, we have these great experts on. And so we get like these amazing 1-hour lessons from anything from sex to but fitness to child rearing, whatever it is, do you find it hard then to impart that knowledge into your spouse? Because sometimes I'm all about, like, I don't believe in discipline, right? The word. And we had this conversation, Sean and I were like, what do you mean you don't believe in discipline? And I was like, I believe in consequences for your actions. Mm-hmm. I believe in boundaries and I believe in solutions. Those are the things I believe in. If she's going to keep doing something, we'll tell her, well, if you keep doing it, we can't go to the ice cream store because, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then if she keeps doing it, the consequences, we don't go. And I'm super chill about it. I'm not screaming or yelling or whatever. Mm-hmm. He believes in, like, discipline, go take a time out, whatever it is. And the problem is I can't say, well, this is not what this expert who I love said, because he doesn't have the time to go and then spend an hour, two, three, four, five processing all this information from these experts, because he's just not on the Zooms with me. Mm-hmm. So how do you get your partners to get, without sounding like you're holier than thou, because I know it all.
What I try to do is we keep the hits really short, like 30 minutes, for kind of that reason. Mm-hmm. And I will send him that one podcast that I think is, like, really good. Like, not all of them, just like all of them are really good, but one, you know, where
it's relatable,
a lot of power struggle issues, mm-hmm. you know, when they're trying to be like jerks and he buys into it. I'm like, oh God, just ignore them. That just does not do me. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really funny you're saying this. We're going to bring another expert into the Common Parent about when you're not on the same page of parenting. Mm-hmm. How do you execute like that? How do you do that? Because there should really be a parenting therapist for mm-hmm. you to both go and kind of the Common Parent is something you can watch together. And I think that's why we did it. I make him watch some of the webinars with me.
Because it is important to count to parent on a united front, because otherwise it's confusing mm-hmm. for the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
And if you're divorced, don't worry. It is resiliency too, right? If you parent differently, that's okay. Like that, it doesn't always happen. The kids do survive too.
Yeah.
But it's really hard because you're two totally different people fundamentally, you know, you grew up differently, like everything. And I do feel that power struggle quite a bit because we have a lot of times, two different ideas on how to approach something, you know?
Obviously, like, ours is right, guys. Obviously,
we've done the research. Okay.
Right? Obviously. It's it's like, who wins?
When it comes to anything academic or competitive sportive, that's him. I'm like, I don't know what the right decision is for, like, how to, like, with your schooling, because I mean, I never learned, I never did it, but him and his siblings all became very successful and they did well in school. So I really don't know how to help you there. But, you know, the other thing is that our podcasts have show notes that are like from the Common Parent. Show notes are really short and it can be just sort of like, just read this, have a look. And like, if you're interested, it's a really short podcast to listen to.
And it is all focused on tween teen, and tween adolescence starts at 9. So just so you all know, that's when the behaviors actually begin to ramp up. Everyone's different, but everyone thinks they have like till 13. 9 or 10 is when you'll begin to see this, like not all the time, but you'll begin to see kind of like, ew, grow, you're breathing. Can you not eat like that? What's wrong with you? You'll begin to get the disgust, the stank face when you walk into a room. Like, oh, she's here.
Every time I pick her up, I'm like, I said to her, I'm not picking you up anymore, because every time I pick you up, you're horrifically upset to see me. She's like,
Tammin, Tammin.
She's taking out her frustration.
Oh my God.
Happened the day when she had to be polite all day.
When you become a member, you get a journal and then you get prompts weekly that are like a safe place where they can tell you anything and you can connect with them really easily. Tammin, your daughter and you need the journal, because I think it's a validation, because you can live in conflict. You can live here constantly, like as in that world. And that's not where you want to be.
I remember picking up though my kids from school, and it was like, I had been mean to them all day.
Uh-huh. How dare you make them go there to that place?
Like so mad and rude. And I'm like, I have not seen you in what, 6 hours?
It wasn't me. I'm always like, hi, I brought your snacks. I just made you muffins. And just the other day, she goes, ew, I hate it. And I was like,
So she's 9. So
she's normal.
Wait, dare I say that it happens even earlier? Because I think I'm already seeing glimpses of that. You know,
earlier.
Like, I have a 7-year-old who's there 100%.
Yeah, no, my daughter was definitely early in everything like that.
My son, though.
Girls, I think it's harder also when you have other kids. Like they say, who's your favorite kid? And I always used to this running joke of like, whichever one is nice to me. And then your second kid is just everything is like whatever you want. Like, and I know that that's not the best sometimes in the long run, but she dresses herself. She'll anything that I eat, I just have to make a little bit more of. I never have to make a new meal. She'll eat everything that I eat. She tells me at 8 o'clock at night, she says, it's time for bed. You need to put me down right now. Like it's just so, it's just, it's nothing. I was like, oh, this is why people have that as a first kid and keep having kids. This is the easiest. Like there's never an issue. And it's
I'm right there with you. And I have to say though, the one that was my first one, the daughter who was so, so, so challenging for so long. Like people always say, like, if they give you a really hard time when they're younger or they're really hard babies, it'd be better. She's actually like, it has leveled off. She's in no way a perfect like 14-year-old, but the leveling off of that like craziness that was so intense and difficult, it's like kind of normal now.
But you're more normal too.
Exactly. That's very true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've had some very experience under your belts, right?
Yeah, I've chilled out for sure.
She took up a lot of focus. And I think she loved that focus. Like it was a good time for her. She really laid it on for all of us.
And then the second one just sat there silently forever.
Yeah. Oh, he's coming up. Better watch out for that one.
Yeah.
That's the one you gotta watch out for, the quiet ones. You're like, shit.
I would like a quiet one if you have just a quiet.
Maybe you could borrow a Tammy.
Yeah, Roxy has a quiet one, which I'm like, that must be bliss.
Like, which is so weird. Like? I'm like, how did I get a quiet one when my husband and I are both so like, you know.
Maybe you need her.
Yeah.
Wow.
You need
it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much. I know we're gonna hop over to your show now, but it's always like I forget that we're actually on a podcast.
I know it's so good.
And if I ever come to, I was supposed to do a movie in Canada, so I was like, oh, maybe so have you guys, but now I'm going to Australia, but next I'm manifesting next year that I'll be in Canada. We can say hi.
And your guys' next LA trip, I mean, come on, ladies.
Yes.
Okay. A phone call. Okay. And get something going. Okay.
Or Nashville. Because I'm there.
Or maybe we do a girls meetup somewhere.
I love it.
They're like, we love it. Will never happen. We're too busy. We have 7 kids. But we'll pretend.
I mean, let's make it happen. I'm putting it out there. It's going to happen.
I like it.
Where can everyone find you? I'm sure they already know, but just let them know again.
We're literally at CATANDNAT. And for all parents out there, go to The Common Parent to find out more about that. We have our CatNet Unfiltered podcast. We're on Instagram,
TikTok, that you're going to be on now.
Facebook, YouTube, everywhere.
Amazing. Thanks guys so much. Please rate, subscribe, and comment. We are Women on Top Official on Instagram and
Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. And we're heading over to their podcast next.
Yes. So go come follow us. And I am Tammy Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on the song's about to
kick, ladies.
Top.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.